Our scripture reading is from Acts 2, 1 through 21, and then verses 42 through 47. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near the Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will see dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved." They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, and they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So time is ticking by. At this point, it's been 7 weeks since Easter, 7 weeks since the Last Supper, 7 weeks since Jesus was arrested and led to the house of the high priest. It's been 7 weeks since Peter followed at a distance and sat down in the courtyard where a fire was burning. A servant girl recognized Peter that awful night. She looked closely at him and said, "This man was with Jesus." But Peter denied it. He said, "I don't know him." And with fear overtaking him, Peter continued to deny Jesus. When he realized what he had done, he went out of the courtyard and wept bitterly. He was a coward and he was a broken man. He had denied Jesus, who was his best friend. He had promised Jesus that he would never deny him, that he would even go with him to death and die for him. All the other disciples had fled at this time as well. Now, I know that story doesn't seem to go with our scripture today, but hopefully at the end you'll see I'll pull it together. So make sure to pay attention to that. So a lot can happen in 7 weeks, as you can see just by these few examples. 7 weeks ago, the religious rulers, they believed they had finally gotten rid of this pesky Jesus. They finally believed they had finished off this guy by crucifying him, who had become a living nightmare to them. He was shaking up their world, changing things, changing people's beliefs, and they were losing authority. So at this time, they thought they had won. But their worst nightmare, the whole reason they crucified Jesus in the first place, had finally come true. Jesus was more alive now than he ever was before. He was all over the place. He wasn't one man walking around anymore, teaching and spreading the good news. He was now with the Holy Spirit. He was living and breathing in all the believers' lives. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. He wasn't just one man. Now he's all believers. That was what these Jewish rabbis were trying to, these priests were trying not to happen. They didn't want this to spread. But now it has spread like wildfire. 7 weeks after Jesus was put to death, 3,000 people would have joined Christ's movement. Within a couple days or weeks after that, another 5,000. And soon after that, it spread like crazy. Tens of thousands of believers were added. As it says here, they were added day by day. Jesus, he was everywhere. And today, because of what God did by pouring out his Holy Spirit on this small group, these 11 believers, these believers who were fearful, who were just Galileans, which at that time was a small, poor country. They had no money. They had no political power. And very, very little education at all. 2,000 years ago this happened. And now we see today, Christianity is one of the largest religions in the world. There seems to be churches on every street corner. At least down here in the South, that's the way it is. And people are still experiencing today what Peter and the others experienced at that very first Pentecost. Ordinary people, like me and you, are having these life-changing experiences with the Lord. We too, we see these visions. We also dream dreams. We are also used by God to spread the church, to move the church, and to bring the surrounding community closer to God. And the book of Acts, it shows this. It testifies this. It shows that the people are filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's an ongoing gift. Throughout Acts, it doesn't just happen at Pentecost. You see other believers filled with the Holy Spirit, moving and changing lives. It's not just a one-time event. So in our scripture passage from this morning, we are told that when the day of Pentecost came, they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. They didn't really explain the reason for this, so I had to talk about that for a second. The reason for this is one of the great Jewish festivals at that time. Everyone came to Jerusalem for what was called Shavuot, or the Festival of Weeks. It's a harvest festival. They all came together, and they had feast upon feast upon feast. As the name implies, it went on for weeks. They were eating every day. It was a good time in Jerusalem. And there were visitors, as it said, from all over the known world. From Arabia, from Persia, Syria, all these places. Different believers came, different Jews. Now, it's interesting to think, if you look back at the teachings of Jesus, this popped in my head when I was thinking about this. When he was moving from town to town, the crowd was following him. He said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." I believe that right there was answered on Pentecost, on this first Pentecost. You see all these people together for a harvest festival, and these 11 men go out and teach all of them, gather them all in like the harvest. Now, Pentecost, or Shavuot, was also a time where they celebrated the law being given to Moses on Mount Sinai. Now, it's important that this happened on this day, during this festival, because just like the prophet Jeremiah had said hundreds of years ago, before this event, before the law of God was written on the stone tablets, written on the scrolls, later it'll be written on people's hearts. So during this celebration of the law given to Moses, God mixes it up. He says, "Here it is. It's now in your hearts. It's now moving all these people, putting the law on their hearts." This fulfillment of prophecy. So on this first Pentecost, 7 weeks following the death and the resurrection of Jesus, and just 10 days after Jesus ascended into heaven, where he sits at the right hand of God, all his followers, as it says, were in one place. And they were praying, and they were waiting for the promise that Jesus had given to them. He said, "Don't worry, I'll always be with you. I will send one who will guide you. I will send the Holy Spirit." So they were waiting for this. They were praying day upon day for this. And that day, Jesus transformed them. So suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. These believers, they began speaking in real languages to real people. These languages, I'd say they've all heard before, but they had no idea how to speak. They did not understand it. All of a sudden, they were spreading the good news to everybody there, and everybody understood it in their own native tongues. I sort of think of that like the United Nations. When the United Nations gather, it's countries from all over the world, all different languages. And when someone gets up to speak, they speak in their native tongue. But each delegate has a person sitting there, it's a translator, that says, here's what they're saying in their native tongue. So God, he's close up and personal with each and every one of them, just like he's up close and personal with us today. Jesus, he came. God sent him to us in this human form. After that, he returned to heaven. And God continues through our own bodies. And he speaks to us in our own languages, just like that day on Pentecost. That shows how much God loves each of us individually, each and every one of us. And that's how important we are to the Creator of the universe, the God who's continually making stars that are bigger than the earth and names each one of them, loves and cares for us individually, and wants a relationship with us individually, since we were created to have this relationship with him. So if you ever feel small, if you ever feel insignificant, things aren't going your way, remember the lengths that God is willing to go through for you, the lengths that he's going for a relationship with you. In the whole scheme of his plan, he takes time for each and every one of us. And all we have to do is look back and look at all the things God has done for us and all the things he will do. As long as you believe and accept God's great gift of love, all these things will be made available to you. You'll see them all. You'll believe in them all. And that experience, that relationship will grow. So 7 weeks after Peter, after he couldn't admit to this one servant girl that he knew Jesus, all of a sudden, he stands before thousands of people. Thousands that may have heard of Jesus but didn't know him, didn't believe in him. He's not scared at this time. He's not worried about whatever they say, whatever they think, or whatever they might do to him. Instead, he looks right in the face of these Jewish people, right in the face of, I'm sure, the Jewish rabbis were there, the priest, and said, God made Jesus for you and me. And these men were trying to share it with you. This is not a joke. This is for real. God came down as Jesus for all of us. We were told that when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then after that, we continued our scripture. We saw that all the believers met together. As the church, they all came together. They had everything in common. They shared with one another. They were happy with one another. They ate together. They prayed together and had communion together. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now again, I tell you, this is not just Pentecost 2,000 years ago. This happens today on a daily basis. We gather together as a church. We come together and worship. We celebrate communion. We celebrate with each other in worship of Jesus. Pentecost, this first one, it sums up the gospel pretty simply. Jesus Christ offers salvation to all, and the church exists to proclaim it. When Jesus first called Peter 3 years before he gave his first sermon at Pentecost, Peter, he was an uneducated and mediocre fisherman at best. He wasn't very good at it. He wasn't much in the eyes of the world. Being a fisherman, he was the lowest of the lows. And he may not have seen himself as much either. He probably didn't expect a whole lot out of his life. He figured he would make it by catching fish. One day he would retire and his sons would catch fish for him. And that would be the end of it. But Jesus, he came and he looked at Peter and he saw the potential. He saw what he could become. He saw God's plan in him and said, "Follow me. I will show you everything and show you how to grow." So where are you right now? Where are we right now? Are you feeling as though you're Peter and you're living your life and that's the end of it? Do you still have dreams? Do you still have visions? Or have those just passed away? Wherever you are, whoever you are, and however you see yourself, Jesus, he wants to transform us. He wants to transform you into the person, into this great person he's always known that you're able to become. Everybody has the potential for greatness. And Jesus is there to help you along that pathway, to be in a relationship with you, to help you grow and to realize your greatness. You just have to see it yourself too. So 7 weeks after Jesus was crucified, dead and buried, and resurrection, the Holy Spirit was poured out on all who dared to believe in that dangerous time. And this is still happening 2,000 years later. It's a daily, an hourly, minute and second occurrence. It's not something that stops on that first Pentecost. It happens every day, this transforming grace. When we live a relationship with Jesus through the Holy Spirit, we go into this new life that we can never have dreamed of before. We never would have thought was possible. And it's an exciting adventure, a journey beyond our wildest imaginations. Our lives, we continue to grow. We continue to move forward. Every day there are new people to meet, more people to love, more people to feed, help, and serve. And Jesus, he offers a salvation and transformation to everyone. And we exist as a church to proclaim that, to share it, just as these men did 2,000 years ago in the face of this giant crowd. And Peter, who set forward to defend them, we are expected, we are called to be transformed and to share that with everyone we meet. So may we do that with our mouths, with our love and our actions, and just with our lives in general. If you'll pray with me. Lord, again, thank you for this beautiful day you've given us and allowing us all to gather here. Help transform us. Help show us the possibilities we have, these unimaginable opportunities. And Lord, through this transformation, help us live lives acceptable to you, to show your love with the world through our words and our actions and our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.